We start off with cats. It's like I got a lot of stuff to cover. It's like, and this is a big rant for me, so I want to make sure we get right to it. This is the name of the talk around the world in 80 cons. Anybody. I'm not speaking for a hacker movement. I'm not speaking for our community. My perceptions, my perspectives. And Russ Rogers said it the best. I like tacos. That means all hackers like tacos, right? No, I like pizza. Nothing against tacos, but no. So that's the whole key thing. It's all about different perspectives. This whole talk, as you see through it, is about our perspectives and perceptions and how they've been changed and manipulated over the years. So first of all, when we talk about computer culture, stuff, you know, and hacking, it always, for some reasons, when we bring in the global part of it, it always gets to nation state. So I want to get that crap out right out of the way, okay? So let's start off with the vendor reports that you see. Verizon data breach, the one on the left, that was the one from 2013 or 2012, the 2013 to 2014 is the one on the right. Notice how they've covered more area because that first one was a little, shall we say, lacking. So what did the marketing team, what did the research team do? They decided, someone reported a breach from Hoboken, New Jersey, cover all of America. Oh, there was one incident in Wuxi, China, all of China. Problem solved. So now it's a more comprehensive report. Like I said, I don't want to get in Twitter war. I've already done that about this report. It's a good report. It's got good numbers and good data and good sales points, but it's not showing all the picture. Same thing with TrustWave. If you see the one on the left, I think they've got a great graphic department. Okay, that's awesome because who doesn't love pie, right? And it's got some good data. And once again, it's not telling the whole complete picture. And then you got the newer report that came out, which is actually, to me, looks like an invite to a rave that I wasn't invited to, which hurt my feelings. But it's got data that you can use. But one of my best ones that I love the most, and literally one of the best sites that I love, is hackmageddon.com. Because first of all, not only do they have pie charts, which once again, you know, pie, it's like they actually put the flags on the little pie. Because let's face it, we're in America. It's like the only time that we know what country's flag is when we're invading it. So it's really refreshing and stuff, you know, to actually see flags before that occurs. So that's awesome. But the most important part is this right here. His disclaimer on his site. Again, no need to repeat that data must be taken very carefully since they do refer only to discovered attacks, the so-called tip of the iceberg, and hence do not pretend to be exhaustive, but only aim to provide a high-level overview of the global cyber landscape. That is such an awesome disclaimer, I'm going to overuse the word cyber, okay? That's awesome because he's honestly saying, this is what I see. This is not the all, this is not the definitive concept of it, this is what I see. And we need more of that. And there's other reports out there, and some are more technically accurate. More of them give you a snapshot of data. This is one. I saw this tweeted all over the Twitter sphere and stuff, you know, about all the, oh my gosh. This isn't from War Games, by the way. This is actually a website and stuff, you know, digitalattackmap.com. And it shows this horrible attack. Well, that's on May 9th. This was from July 22nd of this year. Does the perception change because of the data, or is it just the fact that we're only looking at a snapshot trying to change the story to suit our needs? That one didn't get tweeted all over the Twitter sphere. And when it's shooting straight up, when you see that heavy concentration coming from the, that means it's an internal denial of service. But we don't want to talk about that part because that doesn't fit our narrative. Other reports are a little bit more blatant in their skewed perspective of what they see the world to be like. I mean, I have to be honest with you. I don't know at what point Richard Bateleck, when he was a young boy in school, that China came over and stole his lunch money, but it hurt him really bad, okay? I mean, I really want to just get a doll and stuff and go up to that guy and say, Tao, show me on the doll where the China touched your network, okay? It's like, I mean, it's incredible. And I mean, that's not just me. I did a Google search for Mandiant Report. I kid you not, I'm being totally honest. This was the first image result. And up until just recently, that to me was one of the most offensive kind of like skewered xenophobic attacks I've seen until Crypteria showed me this. You're telling me that your product is so racist. I mean, I'm sorry, not racist. What's the word? Stupid. That the only way to detect an attack is probably just a engine filter looking for Chinese characters, and that's your product. That's where your only threat is coming from. It's disgusting. It's like, and I didn't block out their name. I didn't censor their name. They can stand by that. If that's what they want to show, I mean, that's like World War II propaganda style right there. And I'm not going to say which side of the Allies or the Germans that it's on. It's still World War II propaganda material. It's ridiculous in this day and age to have something like that as a decent marketing campaign. Indecent, maybe. But let's break it down. I want to get this out of the way real quick. Let's break it down. China's bad, right? That's what we hear. China's bad because they spy on their citizens. They spy on other countries. They infect other nation computers with malware. They try to censor the press. They try to suppress the protesters. Well, isn't that horrible? Let's take. I'm gonna just go and say out there. It's like we gotta just address this. Okay, it's an uncomfortable thing, especially since I'm going to Beijing next week. It's like, but let's break it down bit by bit. I want to look at each one of these individually. They spy on their citizens. That's horrible. Oh wait, this isn't China, is it? Oh, my bad. I love the fact that it's like, you know, the Congress is all, well, if you have nothing to hide, why are you worried about monitoring? Oh my God, the CIA was monitoring computers that they owned that we were using. That is horrible. That outrage for them, but not us. And then the best part about it is the CIA apologizes. So in other words, you know, other countries, other nation states, when you hack us, make sure you send an apology letter, then it's all good. Because I guess that was the part that was missing. It's like you can't just steal the data. You gotta say sorry. So there's that. They spy on other countries. Oh my, I will have to tell you this. Two points. First of all, how bad of a person or country do you have to be to make a German that sad? I mean, seriously. She got groped by George W. and she didn't look that bad. It's like, and then, I mean, it's a, and one of the other things that gets me is in the lower left, you see Italian magazine says the U.S. spies listen to the Pope. Vatican says unaware. Guys, I don't care what religion you are. I don't care, atheist, Buddhist, Taoist, whatever. We all have to admit, seriously, this is a pretty good Pope. I like this Pope. Yeah. He's a cool Pope. I mean, he takes selfies for God's sakes. I mean, come on, how cool is that? He is a pretty freaking good Pope. Why are you, now the other Pope, the guy with the red shoes, he looked a little sketchy, okay? I can understand that. But you're actually spying on this Pope? That's just not cool. So they're doing that. They infect other nation computers with malware, which that is horrible. That should be like an act of war. Oh, wait, except for when we do it. That's, then it's cool. I love the best, one of the best denials of an attack I've ever seen is from the U.S. when they were like, no, we did not hack into those centrifuges in Iran that wonderfully orchestrated, brilliantly executed, well thought out masterpiece of an attack. Wasn't us. You know, so that was great. So it's like, you know, I thought that was awesome. They try to censor the press. Well, luckily we got the freedom of speech, the First Amendment rights to protect us, except for when we don't. So that's not cool. It's like, I love the fact that I'm doing a little roller coaster. It's like, oh, that's funny. And they're like, wait, that's not funny, Jason. That's not amusing. And it's not. It's like, I like this one here, though. They try to suppress protesters because this is hilarious. You see, this is actually what they were called, the free speech zones that George W. set up. You may not be able to notice this, where the machine guns and the iron fences are right there. That's the free speech zone that you had for when you protested at some of his rallies. So that was good. We had a free speech zone. I mean, that's some Orwellian-like stuff right there. And the other one where the U.S. Army hired spies to go undercover, you know what the anti-war protesters are talking about? The Quakers. That's your threat. They're like one step above the Amish. And you're going after those guys. Because, you know, that little living room meeting and stuff, you know, around coffee and crumpets and stuff, you know, is so dangerous. So they're doing that too. So basically what I'm trying to get at is stop saying this country is doing X. It's all countries are doing X. This is a report of command and control servers all around the world. They're everywhere. Every country is doing these kinds of attacks. Look, it's even in Canada. Canada! I mean, I can just imagine how the hacker is over there. It's like, excuse me, pardon me, I have to pwn your network now, I apologize. It's like that's exactly the way I'm imagining. He's like, oh, you shouldn't have MSY 67 on the internet. Oh, that's too bad, sorry. It's like, you know, so it's like, so even Canada's doing it. And it's like, so you know that's bad. So now that we've got that crap, that stuff out of the way, let's get to the real stuff. I wanted to start talking about the hacking cultures that I've seen around the world and how they're different. So I'm going to give one experience of my perception, and then I want to give an actual survey that I send out to all the people around the world and had them fill it out and how it started changing the way my talk was going to be. So let's start off with China, Asia. It's like South Pacific. I was going to start talking about how one of my first experiences when I went over to China about 4 or 5 years ago, but I've got a new one now. It's like a couple weeks ago, I invited Dave Kennedy over to the Beijing Institute of Technology to give a lecture there. And Dave was, you know, a little trepidatious. It's like, you know, he was a little like, okay, I'll go, Jason. It's like, you know, it's like expecting a black van at the airport and stuff, you know. He had preconceived notions just like I did. He was like, oh, this is the way it's going to be. This is like, because when I first went there, all I knew was what I saw in the media, what I saw in the press. And I was like, by the time his trip was over, he was like, Jason, that is one of the most best, awesomest experiences I've ever had in my life. Thank you. It opened his eyes and he got to see the other side of what's going on. And that's a beautiful thing that we all need to do, is understand that it's not just what we're being told, but we need to also experience and see for ourselves how that stuff actually works. So let's go with a survey that I sent out. I sent out a lot of questions, but these are the ones that I centered on the most. What country are you more familiar with? I currently live in China. I do not edit what they're saying and stuff, so this is what they're saying. What country? I currently live in China. I spend half between the U.S. and China. How'd you find out about hacking? Just a simple thought. How can I get unlimited gold and rice at the beginning that I can beat Romance of Three Kingdoms, which is made by Koei? It is Nintendo Red White Game Box back in the late 80s when I was 19, 20. So I love that. He had a need as a hacker, right? It's like, you know, it's that necessity. It's like, because, you know, who doesn't want to beat video games and who wants to work that hard to do it? So boom, let me find it, right? It's like, in your region, how is hacking seen by the general public? Overall, it is still trends toward negative. Public lack of understanding. Even people accepted hacking as a skill, a method, but most people stay away from it. So is hacking in your region seen as more for crime, hacktivist, nation state, or other? Public media defines it depends on official needs. Today, it may be a crime. Next day, it becomes national heroes. Someday, it is a technical challenge. Like most of the place, it is a mixture. Some of criminals can be used for national interest. Under certain control, official security workers may conduct hacktivist or crime in his or her leisure time. Some can be hired overseas interest. I mean, it's like I've actually seen different hacker groups, you know, creating out and renting botnets to other countries to hack. So it looks like it's coming from China, because who cares it's coming from China, not knowing that it's actually America or Russia or Croatia and stuff, you know, that's actually the one sponsoring the attack. So let's go to the next one. Let's talk about Europe. It's like one of my experiences. We'll go to my experiences now. It's like was Nuit de Hack. If you're not familiar with Nuit de Hack, it is a DEF CON conference. It's like just this huge, like 2,000 people in this huge thing at Euro Disney, and it is DEF CON in a 24-hour period. I mean, literally, it's Nuit de Hack is Night of Hacks. It goes all night. They start off talks around like 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning and stuff. And then by 8 o'clock at night, it's just workshops. It's like you've got like a lockpick village. You've got hardware hacking. You've got all these wonderful it is the true distilled essence. And so you don't know, massive capture the flag going on, because that was the main draw, right? But it is the very essence of what DEF CON is about. It's like just the pure socializing and hacking and learning as much as you possibly can, crammed into this, you know, just this one time frame. bring a lot of no-dos and some five-hour energy drinks with you because they don't have them readily available because it's at Euro Disney. And so, now, actually, I wasn't even going to talk about this, but I had to bring it up. One of the creepiest moments of my life also is being a hacker in at Charles de Gaulle Airport in a hoodie and a suitcase and sunglasses with a whole bunch of stickers on my suitcase waiting for the Disney shuttle. I actually had this little girl was like walking a little close to me and her dad was like pulled her aside. And my first thought was like, dude, I'm not even mad. That was a good call. I look pretty sketchy right now. But it's like, it's at Euro Disney. It's a great conference. It's like Hack in Paris is also, it's like the Black Hat version, but less sucky as well. So it's like, it's a good place to go and check out. So let's talk about the survey. He's from Croatia. I traveled a lot, but since I've lived here all my life, the answers is the same. He found out about hacking the term probably from the movie Hackers. So I love a lot of international responses I got were from different movies. But I do personally believe that Angelina Jolie has done more for starting the hacker movement than any other movie around, okay? So thank you, Angelina. I still want my awkward hug. In your region, how is hacking seen by the general public? The media portrays hackers as criminal masterminds that infiltrate systems from their dark rooms. I'm sure you know the cliche quite well. Unfortunately, yes, I do. Is hacking in your region seen as more for crime, hacktivist, nation state, other? Once again, crime. Seeing a theme here, people? It's like, because it continues. I only went to Brazil once. It was for a conference down there in Recife. And I remember going to the speaker dinner. And the guy was like, this is years ago. He's like, yeah, dude, it's like, hackers aren't really a big thing down here. It's not illegal to hack and stuff, you know, so it's not cool. And it's like, no one really gets it. They didn't just think we're nerds. It's like, they don't really think that we're like hip or like, you know, part of it or edgy or something like that. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Maybe you'll get arrested soon. Good luck with that. I don't know. How do you answer that? So it's like, and the good news for him is that it's now they've acted law, so now Brazilian does have cybercrime law, so now he's an outlaw. Yay, for him, I guess. So that was my experience there in Brazil. So let's talk to someone who actually has been there from Brazil and lives there. It's like, how did you find out about hacking? One of the best answers I've ever gotten on the survey, trying to get things done. Mother, exactly right. That is one of the truest essence of hacking. It's like, what are you doing? Because I'm trying to get something done. Most discoveries are because I'm trying to get something done. In your region, how is hacking seen by the general public? It's like, nowadays it's a mix of good and bad. I'm going to shorten it out. It's like, at this point in time, unless you're doing something, you wouldn't really be aware of hacking. With online banking being implemented in 96, 97, bankers' activity started increasing quickly in Brazil. Bankers' activity means the credit card fraud, the bank theft, on online things like that. Is hacking in your region seen as more for crime, hacktivism, nation state, or other? Considering those that don't know anything about it and just see the stuff in the news, mostly tied to crime, and sometimes hacktivism. In the corporate world, a better understanding to ethical hacking. So once again, I'm getting these over the course of a month, people. I'm getting these other surveys. I'm getting these other reports, and I'm still seeing the same trend. And it does get me a little angry. My first experience to Africa, my only experience was to go to Cairo. Some people are saying, well, that's Egypt, that's the Middle East. It's on the continent of Africa, it's Africa, okay? Don't mess with me. It's like I had to put a continent in there. So I went to Cairo. It was an awesome conference. It was a great conference. But hackers don't dress like hackers. That's my mental image of what hackers are, my perception. Everybody was in suits. They made me wear a suit and stuff, you know, which really was a disadvantage to those poor people because that made me look normal. And so they thought I was normal. And they were swiftly disabused of that notion of stuff, you know, as soon as I started interacting with them. Because that is actually me giving like two students and stuff, you know, the rabbit ears as they're getting a picture with, oh, let's get a picture with Jason. I'm like, sure. It's all good. My best photobomb I've ever done was this one student taking the picture behind the banner, because we all take that picture. I know I do it. I know you're doing it. Everybody takes that picture behind the DEF CON banner or the Black Hat banner. You got to take that picture of like, I'm here. What's up, guys? It's like, you know. So he's taking that picture. It's his first conference ever. And he's taking that picture not knowing that 20 feet behind him, I'm behind him in my suit going. So I love that picture. So that was a very, very polite, very official, very sedate crowd there, even with the actual hackers. And it's like, and I come after, talk to them later, and I've met with them after the conference and stuff, you know, and then all of a sudden it was all changed. But in the organization, in the group, it was a little bit different. Let's talk about more, so let's talk about what's going on in Egypt. How'd you find out about it? I love this one. Caught a virus in 2005 because a certain person downloaded pirated game and it was backdoored. Wondered how those virus worms worked, learned some programming first by viewing sample virus sources, and walked the road and never went back. That's what it's about. He's like, oh my gosh, I got pwned. That's sort of cool. How did that happen? Let me try to figure it out and do it myself. So it's like, I love that answer. And you're reading, how is hacking seen by the general public? Hacking is generally viewed as hacking people's Facebook and Yahoo accounts. People, that is depressing and sad. They still use Yahoo. I'm just, take a moment and sink that in. It's sort of horrible. Okay, so in hacking in your region, it seems more for crime hacktivists, nation state, other. Most viewed as a crime, few know about hacktivism. Yeah, this was after Tahrir Square. Still, they see it more as crime than hacktivism. Still is something done by criminals and nefarious people instead of people trying to get freedom. So let's talk about the Middle East. I've gone to the Middle East and I've actually broken into some places over there and they still let me back, which is awesome. And one of my first trips over there was to Beirut, Lebanon. And I met a guy, he was a really cool young hacker dude. And I was like, so what's going on? And he's like, oh, nothing. He's like, and he wanted to show me something. He's like, look on my laptop. And he's like, he shows me these screens. I'm like, that's cool, dude. What is that? It's like, oh, that's the national telecom system. I'm admin, root on it. Cool. He's like, I've had access for 4 years. And I'm like, what are you doing with it? Are you not paying your bill? Or are you like getting into other people's accounts? Oh no, no, I still pay my bill and stuff. You know, I just have access. Is that cool? And I thought that was awesome. He's just an adventurer, explorer stuff. You know, it's like I don't suggest you doing that in your country's telecom system. But there, it's like the Wild Wild West. That's totally cool. And they've got that adventurous spirit and stuff, you know, if not, you know, the lawyer spirit. So let's talk about Lebanon. He says, like, how did you find out about hacking? He says, the BBS and MIRC. That's like a little old school. In your region, how's hacking seen by the general public? There is a huge lack of awareness. Also, lack of exposure to more evolved countries hacking-wise, and just recent high-speed connections made it difficult for young people to grow up with good access to that culture. A lot of the internet over there is 3G, 4G. It's like they're all cellular. There's not many landline direct connections to people's houses. You carry your internet with you. Is hacking in your region seen as more for crime, hacktivist, nation state, or again? Again, the lack of awareness results in people just hearing about hacking on the news, and since media just reports on cyber criminals, this is the way they see hackers in general. I am seriously telling you, I'm getting pissed at this point and stuff. You know, there was an extra boost to Pepsi consumption during the getting these surveys. But let's go on to North America, and let's talk about. First of all, I'd like to tell you one of the main non-consensual awkward hugs that I will continually to get is from Bruce Potter because he hates them so much. But Heidi gives me permission, so too bad for Bruce. But let me talk about ShmooCon and DevCon. There's like so many, and DerbyCon. There are so many conferences here that you get to see just groups of people. But I want to center on DevCon. It's like, and it's not just because I'm here and I'm trying to play to the crowd. I'm being honest, it's my 10th anniversary here. And if you've known me, and if you knew me before that, you will realize one important thing. I've created a family here. It's like, and I see these people all the time. And it's like, I know more what's going on with hackers in different parts of the world, in different countries, and different places here, than I know what's going on with my real family, which is, you know, hopefully they're not watching this because I don't care. But it's like, but still, this has given me a home. This has given me a place to be. I would not be here. It's like maybe not even around if it wasn't for the people that I've met at this place. And it's like, and I'm grateful for that. And I'm always humbled by the acceptance here of these people. So that's my experience in America with DEF CON. So let's talk about what country you're more familiar with. Guys, Canada is in North America, so I didn't go American. But he says, familiar, like all Canadians, I'm stupidly aware of the USA. It's like, how did you hear about hacking? I don't know that's what it was called until my till many years later. I presume that everyone took things apart to figure out how they work. Ultimately, I put two and two together at some point in the late 80s when I was going back and forth between DataPack and FidoNet. In other words, it's human nature. It's like, that's just what it was. It's like, why do you second guess it? We don't know our prejudice. We don't know what we're supposed to, you know, shun until we're taught by someone older, usually. It's like, but as children, we don't have that. We have to learn it from others. In your region, how is hacking seen by the general public? Hacking in the media terminology is most universally reviled. Hacking, doing the cool stuff to make the awesome, is very well received. Is hacking in your region seen as more for crime, hacktivist, nation state, or other? Again, the media terminology is seen as a negative thing comprised largely of carders and hacktivism. Where did we come from, people? Is this okay with you? That we're criminal, that this is what it's seen. That every, no matter what region, my talk was supposed to be about how Malaysian hackers are more into hackerspaces, how the Germans love privacy and encryption protocols, how the Brazilians do banker cards. It's like, I was trying to do a talk about the diversity of the hacking culture, and instead I found a single thread that unites us. We're seen as criminals. And I am not happy about that. Because this is who we come from. Is it on there? Yes. This is who we come from. Alan Turing, the godfather of cryptography, saved thousands upon thousands upon thousands of lives during World War II, helping to crack the Enigma machine. After the war, his thank you was castration until he drove himself to suicide because he wasn't socially acceptable by the people that he saved. What about Nikola Tesla? He is the godfather of open source because we are so befret of so many of his inventions because he didn't want to make a profit on it. So companies didn't want to invest in it. Until he died alone in his hotel room, it took the Meg 2 days to find his body. Thank you for your invention, sir. What about Ada Lovelace? I'm going to talk one quick mention on this whole women in tech debate. Guess what, people? Ada Lovelace is the first programmers. Women started this industry. They led us into it. That's all there is to that. First computer programmer, shunned and exiled from her family, died from the treatment of cancer, not the cancer itself. What about Paul Otlet from Belgium? He created and conceptualized the internet. Sorry, Al Gore. It's like, you know, this guy. It's like, died in 1944, penniless and broke because everybody was like, we're still using his indexing system, but that whole other dream of like being together as a community and uniting the world, we don't have time for that. I would also talk about Leonardo da Vinci because he is the Uber hacker. He is the inspiration for every hacker to try to be. But he died really well. People loved him. This prince gave him a mansion to retire in. And it didn't fit my narrative, and I'm trying to manipulate your emotions, okay? So we'll forget that guy, okay? But those are the inventors. Hacking is artistry. It is inventions. It is trying to go and say, this is what I'm told it's supposed to do. What if I do this? I see something here. Let me make it better. But that's not what we see now. When did it change? When did we become the villain in this story? It wasn't 200 years ago, because 40 years ago, it's like there was plenty of other changes. But let me give you a little snapshot of the current justice system today. I'm not going to talk about why or who they should be or the sentencing was just. I'm just talking about sentencing. Jeremy Hammond, 10 years for hacking. Andrew Weave Alheimer, 10 years for hacking, which was basically the essence that he was enumerating URLs that were publicly addressable. And trust me, when you're in the 90s and stuff, you know, and you're going to those certain websites with those picture folders, you did the same thing. But that's what he was arrested for and given 10 years for. Max Ray Butler, 13 years for hacking. Roman Vega, 18 years for hacking. Albert Gonzalez, 20 years for hacking. Is that fair? Some people will say yes. People like me think maybe a little excessive. Malik Richmond, 1 year for rape. Gerhard Becker, 1 year for involuntary manslaughter of a firefighter. Trent Mays, 2 years for rape. The person that was actually exposed to two rapists and stuff, you know, is on trial for exposing the two rapists, so he'll probably get at least 10 or 20. Seth Hornberger, 3 to 6 years, voluntary manslaughter. And don't forget Jessup Horatio, 5 years for murder of a 20-month-old toddler that she was babysitting, bashed his head in. Us hackers, we like to be mysterious. We like to be on the outside. Guess what? Juries are made of people. And what people don't understand, they fear, and what they fear, they try to destroy. And I was told at a conference, a guy gave me a piece of insight that I'd never even thought of before. And this is very sad and depressing, but he said, dude, it's like the reason why is because hacking is new and unknown. We've gotten thousands and thousands of years to get used to murder. Juries know murder very well. We know exactly about rape and killing and stealing and stabbing and doing all those things. But the whole computer thing is new, so we're more fearful of that. How twisted, sick, and right is that? What about these criminals? Straight up criminals, they actually admitted, as the billing and pulling hacked a company's accounting file to try to get free computing time, they actually got access to the administrator's password and used it to steal the company's internal accounting file. Allen doesn't go into detail about how they got the password. Statute of limitations over, I don't know why. They were hoping to decrypt the file to get one of the free accounts, but they got caught and the company booted them. Bad guys. Hacking our network, stealing our data, grabbing our access passwords. We're going to teach you a lesson. You don't get any more free computing time at school. What about these two thieves? Straight up hood. What did they do? They sold illegal equipment to defraud a legitimate working business of profit that they were entitled to because that's what the service they were providing. But we showed them, didn't we? Everybody raise up your iPhone. Exactly. That's what happened to those criminals. Just 40, 50 years ago, that's how we handled hackers. 4 years ago, not so much. Another young man who had already founded a multi-million dollar company broke into a utility closet at MIT. He hooked up a laptop to the campus network and downloaded 4 million academic journal articles, most of them in the public domain, from a paid archive to which he had a subscription that he paid for. He was arrested, indicted twice on multiple counts of fraud, and at a trial that was to have begun in April, could have faced 50 years in federal prison and $1 million fine. His name was Aaron Schwartz, and he took his life because of it. He was actually hounded to death because of that crime. And that's now acceptable. That's what we're supposed to say is okay. No, that is not okay. To have such an ignorant government telling us that this is what the crime is and this is the way it's done, and we're letting them show us the laws, letting them keep those laws on the books without actually trying to make a change on it. And we need to start. Because if we don't, they're going to keep doing this. Look at some of these pictures, people. I mean, that one in the lower right looks like the freaking Nazgul coming after me. Every time I see that picture, I want to throw a ring at it. Not because I like it. That's ridiculous. That is what they see. That is what the public sees when they look at you and you say you're a hacker. I've got a cold computer room, okay? I've got an extra air conditioning unit in the window. I have never been so cold that I need the hoodie up and a ski mask on to do my work. Never. And it's like, and trust me, it's like, well, how do they get these images? Well, you know, sometimes we help. Okay, I got to make fun. I told Miko I had to make fun of him because the other guys are Mossad and I don't want to get them pissed off at me. So it's like, so we'll make fun of Miko. It's like, I mean, so we actually sometimes like to help with that image because we like being cool. I don't know about you, but in high school, I was not very cool at all. Okay. Junior high, I wasn't very cool. Elementary, I was never been cool, dudes. Okay. Just didn't happen. Well, thank you for that. It's like, so what we go though is we talk about it and we say, now we get that mysticism and stuff. You know, we want that. We want to be that different, that outside. But they're using it against us. So what are we going to do? Well, we got to start changing the story. And I really hate this because this actually shows you, this is from Nuit de Hack on the left, and they're talking about pirates. But if you're a good guy and you're working with Raytheon and contractors, you're a ninja. Screw that, I'm a ninja. Sorry, pirates, okay? But I'm a ninja. Those geeks on the computer and stuff, you know, using Windows are not ninjas, okay? I know ninjas. It's like, you ask my kids what their daddy is. It's like, he's a ninja. It's like, well, actually, they stopped doing that because my daughter got in trouble on a bus defending my ninja honor. It was a sad conversation that day when I had to explain to her that it was a secret that we only kept within the family. So we see that. We see these stories being skewered and being manipulated. It's like, look at this one. This is just based on a video game. Glenn Beck and stuff, you know, criticizes Watch Dogs for promoting hacking. What the heck is wrong with us? What the heck is wrong with him? Being on the wrong side of Glenn Beck is being on the right side of history, as far as I'm concerned, my personal opinion, okay? It's like, and I like to think that that's a witty comeback, but nothing was more witty or better than this one. This one was from Bravo Hacks. Hey, I hear Watch Dogs teaches you how to hack. Going to expense for educational training purposes and submit for CISSP creds. That is awesome. Now here's another one, and I'm going to do my run over and rant now. Because over here, after DerbyCon, we had a guy come on. This is Sterling Riggs Jerkoff, by the way. My personal nickname for him, because we're that close. So Sterling Riggs Jerkoff posted on Facebook, I don't know, and I'm going to talk in his voice how I imagine it. I don't know how I feel about this DerbyCon happening at the Hyatt downtown. It's a convention for computer hackers. Sessions include password cracking, hacker war games, and a lockpicking pavilion. Thoughts? And guess what? There were some thoughts. It's the internet. Don't we all have them? It's like Greg Troutman. The LMPD and FBI should raid the convention and arrest the people who are doing the training. They were in training, idiot. It's like Michelle Barry Richardson, scary. Darcy Fraser, so overcome she could only use an emoticon. It's like Connie Consistis, I bet no arrest, more like employment opportunities. Very good ones, actually. Jenny Smith, wow, that's insane. Have you read the rest of the comments? It's like Sean Goodman, what about classes on mugging, car, and theft? Brenda Newton Rowe, Sean, that's next week. She's the witty one of the bunch, LOL. Amber Nicole Cecil, I think it's stupid. Amber, you didn't capitalize I think you're stupid. And then Jen goes, arrest them all. I seriously expected the targeted advertising on Facebook would be for pitchforks and fire. But guess what happened? Iron Geek saw it. So he posted it on Twitter and said, hey guys, check out this, you know, insane thread that's going on. So what did we do as hackers? We started commenting. And at first we think, oh my gosh, that must have been horrible. We started informing and educating and telling people exactly what it was about, trying to change their perception, trying to show them this is what hacking is, this is what the conference was about, try to come next year. We were trying to bring an olive branch out to them and let them understand and stop fearing us. So Sterling Riggs Jerkoff did the only responsible thing a good reporter could do. He destroyed the thread. Those are the only screenshots in existence of this thread because he deleted it because it was no longer filling his narrative. That's horrible, right?
Censorship.
Well, no, it's his right.
It's just raging. It's all about raging.
And I agree with you, but guess what else? I'm guilty of the same exact thing. I am a hypocrite. Y'all can clap for hypocrites. I don't mind. I'm being honest.
Because I loved making fun of this lady. I loved making fun of the McDonald's hot coffee lady. Because it was hilarious. You know? It's like, oh, I spilled coffee. $1 million, please. She was on Jay Leno. Well, she wasn't on Jay Leno, but the jokes were on Jay Leno. It was all over the place. And everybody liked to make fun of the... Everybody loved to make fun of the hot coffee lady. She's the reason why we got to say, you know, water is wet, coffee is hot. Please don't stick this in your eye. It may, you know, kill you. Isn't that ridiculously stupid? Until you meet her and realize that she received third-degree burns over 15% of her body that required skin grafts. Till you realize the fact that all she asked McDonald's for was emergency room expenses and treatment, and they said, here's $800, no Happy Meal either. Till you realize and stuff that she went to court just to get her expenses paid. The court awarded her, not what she asked for, they awarded her 2 days, 2 days of coffee sales. Just 2 days of their coffee sales profits, not including the nuggets or anything else, just the coffee. That totaled up to $2.9 million. She received less than $500,000 of it. People, I have met the McDonald's coffee lady, and she is us. That story was changed because they had a voice, and they thought they could change it, and they got away with it for a very long time. How long are we going to let them get away with making that story about us stick? We have to do something about it. And quite frankly, honestly, I'm glad to say we are. We're starting to understand what the problem is. And knowing is half the battle, a once wise sage told me. Or was that a television show, maybe? But yeah, so knowing is half the battle. We're not understanding that we got a problem to deal with it. And I have good news. We're starting to get people out there spreading the news and actually changing the narrative. I gotta love, I got Muncie, Evan Booth, Kaminsky, Javid, even Brian Krebs as a reporter is starting to actually tell an accurate and correct story about what's going on. But I also gotta mention, I love Dave Kennedy, because I mean, you may have seen Dave Kennedy on Fox News, CNN and Fox News and MSNBC and Fox News. And I think he was on the Katie Couric show and Fox News. And I actually, every time I see him in real life and he doesn't have a Fox Chiron going below him, I freak out, because it's like a... He needs one. He needs like one of those little holographic ones. It's like, I just like messing with Dave. But I mean, these are great voices. And we like these voices, don't we? We like people talking about and getting in the media and talking about hacking. We like great speakers and orators and knowledgeable hackers going out there and talking on television. Well, maybe not everybody. Maybe not everybody. Let's not get too carried away. It's like not everybody has the right narrative to go with. Not everybody is totally equipped to actually tell that story. But there's quite a few. My question is, and this is my challenge to you, and this is my biggest, I like to be polite, but seriously, this is what I would like to see happen. Why not you? You don't need a group. I am the Calvary. I think it's a great thing that they're starting. They're trying to get a group together, a collective. That's not you. News stories happen and your local news covers it. Call up your newspaper, call up your television show. If you've got information on that and you can tell a good narrative of what's going on and the way people understand, do it. You're not trying to pimp yourself out for the PR, you're trying to educate the public, and that's what it's about. If you're not here trying to learn to take it back to someone, to help them educate them and help them be better, then you're wasting your time here. We need to start educating outside of the echo chamber. We need to start communicating with the people that don't know how to run the computers, that don't know how to do a pop a knob sled. We need to start educating them and letting them know who we are. This is what we're getting to. And I just, at 7 o'clock this morning before I had any Pepsi, I decided I'm starting a movement because it was the cool thing to do. I don't even have a website out for it yet. I haven't got a logo yet, but I stole art off of Google like everybody else does. So it's all good. But what I want is not a group. I don't want an organization. I don't want a whole bunch. I just want one website with the simple thing of instructions on how to talk to the press, simple instructions on how to talk to users, and that's it, people. There will be no meetings about it. There will be no talks about it. There will be nothing else but an informational standpoint for you to individually start trying to make a change in this place and make it better. That's what we need. We're so cynical. We're so upset with the way things are. We're so tired. You are not powerless. You are not someone that just gets to sit on the sidelines and make funny, witty comments on Twitter and think it's funny. You've got a responsibility to do something about it. You're a hacker. That's what we do. And we do it freaking well. Blood Code started here because one of our own was needed blood. So what did we do? We created a blood drive at DEF CON. First year, the lady of the blood bank was in tears because it was from 9 to 5 on one day. By 9 a.m., the slots were all full. She had to spend the rest of the day turning people away. The second year, we had it for longer. Guess what? It was the biggest blood drive in Nevada State history at the time. The Ninja Party was giving out invites, so that might have helped. But it still happened. It's like, what else occurred? It's like the third year, last year, we gave no prizes. There were no raffles, no gimmicks, no nothing. The second largest blood drive in Nevada State history at the time. And guess what happened this year? Not too much. We had a bus. It's like there's room constraints, and I understand that. Next year, I'm going to get in a lot of trouble because I want to announce what we're going to try to do, which is a bleeding edge track where we actually have speakers come in an actual room and have a 30-minute sit-down with the actual people donating. So you actually get one-on-one time with different DEF CON speakers about what they're talking about, questions that you have, and get to actually involve them. We're going to call it the bleeding edge track, hopefully if I can get them to okay with it, but it's better to get, you know, forgiveness and permission, so I'm already announcing it. But I want that to happen. Because recently, last year or so, there was another company, UMC or something like that. They're now the biggest blood drive in Nevada State history. And that is not cool. It should be hackers. Some people were telling Julie and stuff, you know, it's like the lady that runs the blood code. She's like, why are we doing this? Because they're just starting. They've never been here before. They don't know who blood code is. And she's like, what do I tell them, Jason? You tell them because we don't just make computers better. We're trying to make the world better, and this is a great way to do some of it. That's what we do. Stop trying to narrow it down and make it about hackers and make it about computers and networks. That's not just what being a hacker is. I'm sorry, it's not. And there's also Be the Match. Tom Wilson is like, he started Be the Match. He helped get the Blood Code 2 started because it's like I started dropping the ball. He helped with Blood Code while he was also working on Be the Match. And that all that takes is for you to go to the contest area today and do a swab. Come on, you're in Vegas. You put worth things in your mouth this weekend. I know, okay? You put a little swab and you can actually help save a life. And that's what it's about. It's about saving lives. It's about making a change for the better. Because we like doing that. Are we sitting on the next one? There we go. I'm not going to talk about Hackers for Charity. I'm not going to talk about Johnny Long. We know about Johnny Long. We know about Hackers for Charity. We know the great work that he's doing, right? Well, who's that guy on the right? No, not the weird looking one, but the one in the middle. That's China Eagle. He's the Johnny Long of China. He helps put computer systems in schools in Western rural China, so, you know, help getting internet access, help getting education out there. He's doing great work in his country to help out his people. He's a humanitarian and he's a patriot. He hates cybercrime. He thinks that most of the hackers and stuff, you know, should be more nationalist and more political and actually helping out their country. One of the things I love about that statement is some of the looks in these people, because Americans don't realize, oh wait, there can be patriots in other countries? I'm not sure how I feel about that. But yes, we can't think about hacking in a community unless we're thinking about a global community. Hackers are everywhere. Borders should not be the thing that separates us or differentiates us. It should be just that we're hackers and we're accepted. That's the way it was before Instagram and before Twitter. You could actually see who the person you were talking to. Back in the IRC days, you just automatically assumed, you know, guys are guys, girls are guys, 14-year-olds are FBI agents. You know, that's the way it was in the olden days. So we have to start doing that and start understanding that we're a community. And we can't just think that hacking is based on borders or based on computers or hacking or what we do. Because I have news for you. It's starting to change. Hacking is about creativity. It is about artistry. It is about changing and inventing and doing something new. And these are just some of the examples. You got Dual Core expressing and educating the masses through his music. You've got Fabs actually creating sewing machine programs and hacking sewing machines to create knitting sweaters with QR codes in them. You've got Eddie the Yeti and stuff, you know, who's expressing and creating a movement of it and creating art and stuff, you know, while still doing hacking and saying, yes, I'm a hacker, and this is also what I can create. That's what hacking is. And I also have news for you. It's not just that we have to change and try to change something, because I've got news for you. As hackers, we're breeding. We're creating offspring. One of the proudest moments of my life was when I was walking to my daughter's school, and we're walking through, and a little girl comes up, and my daughter looks up at me, and she smiles and says, this is my daddy, he's a hacker. And that's a great, warm story to tell, and that makes me feel good, until John Strand, in a class I took with him, said that he was at a career day, and the girl, his daughter said, my daddy's a hacker, and he said he got looks, and he got looked like he was a leper. And people looked at him differently and thought that he was a criminal. That literally broke my heart. I didn't even tell him that. He doesn't even know that. But I was sitting back there, and I just got so defeated. I just got so deflated thinking about that. That someone had to go through that. That they had to think that their child will look at them different because the people that are around them are saying, oh, your daddy's a hacker? I heard that a hacker stole my daddy's credit card. A hacker put a virus on my daddy's computer. Is that the world we want to live in? Our children shouldn't have to be ashamed of what we do for a living because we are helping people. We are trying to be a positive force in this world. They shouldn't have to think of us wearing a ski mask while we're on the computer. It's like, and I want you to understand, it's not just them that we have to worry about. We like to think that it's just one little aspect. You don't get to learn to be a hacker. You don't go to the training to be a hacker. You're a hacker. As you're born, you're a hacker. And you're not a special snowflake in this special snowflake blizzard, people. I'm sorry. Look at this. A group of kids in Ethiopia were giving a crate that was unopened. 5 months later, they hacked the security settings, enabled the camera, and learned English and hacked the tablets. 5-year-old kid wasn't allowed in the Xbox account. Microsoft gave him a reward because he found an actual vulnerability in it. That's hacking. This girl right here in the lower right, her grandfather has Parkinson's. What did she do? She designed a cup that he could drink out of. That's actually getting ready to be mass produced for all Parkinson's patients. She saw a problem and she tried to do something about it. She's a hacker. It is not something special. It is in our DNA. And until you start telling the other people around and stop trying to be special and let them know you're just as much as a hacker as I am, you're just in a different field or you're just not doing something with it, they're going to keep looking at us as the odd ones. Hacking is being human, period. And on a lighter note, just remember we are a community, okay? Just remember, through the power of awkward hugs, we're all 1 or 2 degrees away from Kevin Bacon. So no matter where you are in the world, no matter where you live, you are part of a community that is bigger than you, that is bigger than your neighborhood, bigger than your local hacking group, bigger than this conference. You are connected to the world. Start acting like it. I'm done. I got 1 minute for questions, so make it some good ones or just troll me, I don't care which. Oh, crap, he actually took me up on it.
Hey, Jason, so I've known you for 10 years, and I follow your stuff on Twitter, and I just wanted to tell everyone here that didn't see what went down at Black Hat that I appreciate your courage, I appreciate the fact that you took matters into your own hands and dealt with something that was pretty embarrassing for the community. For the benefit of everyone, I think you should maybe tell that story.
I will tell the unedited version, which is actually shows that I'm not that big of a hero. It's like the person that gets credit for that is Wendy451 on Twitter. She saw a very offensive, disgusting sign at the Black Hat booth area, and she did the mature thing, which and you can't fault me for not doing the mature thing. It's like because I'm not mature and I'm upfront about that, okay? So she did the mature thing and actually went to Black Hat officials and said, guys, not cool, do something about it, and they did. So Wendy541 gets a lot of the props. I was in my hotel room chilling, actually, on Twitter, and I saw the sign on someone else had tweeted, and I was like, and I will tell you honestly, I got enraged. It was a very, I'm not even going to describe it, it was disgusting, it's out there, if you want to go look at it, it's horrible. So I run down there. I mean, I'm like running down to the lobby because I'm like, I'm doing something about this. I don't know what yet, but it's doing something. And I actually run into the dual core. And he's like walking. He's like, he said, Jason, where are you going? It's like I'm going to go start a ruckus. And it's like, I keep walking and stuff, you know? And it's like, and he follows me for a little bit. Then he realizes, oh, crap, he really is about to start a ruckus. And so he went that way. And so I go to their booth. I go to the registration area for Black Hat because I thought it'd be funny and ironic to use their materials to write my protest sign. And basically, it was just a sign I was going to say, this is wrong, with an arrow. And I was going to stand out in front of the booth holding the sign saying, this is wrong. It's like, and then as I'm writing it, an official from Black Hat goes, I'm just like, what are you doing? It's like, I'm about to start a ruckus. I like to be honest, okay? It's like, and they're like, you can't do that. And I'm like, yeah, I can. It's like, I'm an attendee, and I'm expressing my freedom of speech and stuff, you know, and I'm going to protest this. I think it's pretty crappy. And they're like, no, you're not allowed to do this. It's like, this can't be done. And I pulled out my phone. I pulled out that picture. It's like, I have a daughter. Do you think this is okay? And they're like, well, I have 2 daughters. And you think this is okay? And they're like, well, you can't mess with their freedom of speech, their First Amendment rights. And I'm like, I'm not messing with their First Amendment rights. I'm not telling them to take it down. I'm just giving and expressing my opinion. And they're like, well, if you, and this is the beauty of it, if you do your First Amendment right, we're going to exercise our First Amendment right. And I'm like, what is that? And we're like, we're going to take you and the sign out of the conference. And I'm like, do you understand how the First Amendment works? It's like, and then they were like, okay, they're telling me to wrap, but I'll finish the story and I'm leaving. It's like, so then I go and I say, fine, whatever. So, you know, and they're like, well, we'll see about that. And they walk off. And actually I lost a little bit of self-respect because I did throw the sign away. I didn't stand up to the thing. I didn't go and do that. And I was upset about myself doing that. And as soon as I did that and I started walking, I got a little pissed about myself for not doing it. So I walked over to that booth and I asked the guy there, and I said, can I have your business card? And he gives me his business card and he says, are you interested in Cisco hardware? I said, no, I think you're a disgusting advertisement. I think this is a horrible booth and stuff, you know, and I think you're ashamed. You should be ashamed of yourself, and that sign is better for selling condoms than hardware. Goodbye. And I walked away. So that's all I did to it, but it's like, it was the only thing I could. So that was that. That was the drama. The drama has been taken care of. I talked to the general manager. They fixed it. They didn't know it was there in the first place. They handled it responsibly once they were brought to their attention. And this guy is actually coming over to tackle me. So this talk is now officially over. Thank you.